invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, may the last stanza that we sing is our prayers. Have your way in us until your heart is satisfied. This morning we come together because of what Christ has done for us, so that we have the privilege to come and approach the Father, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. This morning, may you continue to renew our lives. We offer up our life before you. Have your way in us. May the word will take root in our lives. May our fellowship with one another will reflect the glory and the love and the mercy of Christ. And may you speak to each one of us. Yes, we might have gone through some pretty difficult things last week. There may be many concerns in our life, in our hearts, in our minds, even worries. But Lord Jesus, this moment, we want to lay it before you. When you ask, would you please take up our burden and replace it with your peace and your rest? In Christ's name we pray together. Amen. I invite you to continue to stand as I read today's scripture. Today's scripture is coming from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. This is the reading of God's word. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling, but he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Did you sleep well last night? Yes, that's good. That's very good. Some of them, you might be a little silent. Tell you the truth, I don't know whether I slept well or not last night. Have you ever experienced one of those nights that you sound asleep and then the other morning you woke up, you still feel tired? And then you knew that you dreamt, but you forgot what you dreamt about. That was my last night. Now, not because of the sermon and all these things, but once in a while, sometimes we experience that. And today's sermon title is Sleeping Disorder. You know that according to statistics in this country, there's between 25 to 33% of adults that are suffering from sleeping disorder. And the statistic even higher, if you go into our adult life, that anyone who suffers from insomnia or sleeping disorder for 1 year long, the statistic even go up to 40%. So that is why, you know, every night after the 7 o'clock World News Tonight, whatever that is, you see a lot of those medicine advertisements, and some of those are about sleeping medicines. This is like multi-million dollar business. Sleeping is something that we all need. We need sleep in order to regenerate our energy. We need sleep in order to have adequate rest so that we can face another day. We need sleep because our body, our mind, our emotion, our psyche function on a cycle, on a pattern that after certain period of time, we need certain time to take ourselves off the line, so to speak, so that we can regain the balance, regain the energy. But in nowadays life, there's a lot of factors happen when we are awake that will affect our sleeping. In today's story, in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, is a very simple account that happened in Jesus' ministry. Jesus had a long day. If you flip back to chapter 3, chapter 2, and then you saw that he did a lot of things those in that day. And then finally, you know, you have to remember, you know, I speak to maybe 500 of us sitting here today with the microphone. But Jesus' time, there was no microphone. In order to project your voice, you need to use a lot of energy. I don't know whether you've been in such an occasion that you have to talk to a crowd of people, that they are noisy, that they are talking to one another, they are not paying attention. In order to capture their attention, you have to project your voice. After about 5 to 10 minutes, you start to feel that your body starts to sweat, even though maybe it is 40, 50 degree out there. And then after half an hour, you're exhausted. And Jesus was just finishing teaching them with parables and all these things. It was a long day for Jesus. So it came that he asked his disciple to row a boat out to the other side of the lake. And then we know that, you know, if you're familiar with the Bible background, that this lake, the particular geographical setting around it, makes its weather, its climate, its weather is very unpredictable. One moment could be calm and breeze and peaceful. The other moment could be suddenly a very severe storm stir up. As a matter of fact, some of the people that I saw some of the picture that even right now, by the lake shore, there's a parking lot. There's a sign saying that you park your car here on your own risk, because if the wave comes up, it might get your car damaged. It is a very particular geographical location that these kind of storm comes up. We're not surprised for the locals. And here, Jesus and his disciple were on one boat. And Jesus, after a long day, when he got on the boat, he went down to the bottom of the boat, the stern, and fell asleep soundly. And then when the storm gathered, his disciple was fearful. They are afraid that they're going to perish. And then what did they do? They woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Just two words, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And after that, Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They start out with a peaceful day, getting rest, trying to get to the other side of the lake, getting on the boat. Jesus sang asleep. They thought everything is okay, fine. Then as we just travel to the other side of the lake shore, and all of a sudden the storm come up, they were afraid. They woke up Jesus. Jesus calmed the sea and the wind in two words. And they even more afraid than before. And Jesus said to them, you know, that is usually our focus on this account. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? It's easy for us to take home a lesson from this account saying that, oh, we need to have more faith. But is that that simple? Can we sum up with more faith when we face difficulties? And I think if we are honest, we'll say there's a big question mark on that statement. As if I have to sum up all my might and all my energy within me in order to have more faith. But is that what Jesus is talking about? Is that what Mark is alluding to in this account? Now, by reading this one, if you are familiar with the Bible, you probably will recall a similar incident in the Old Testament, the story of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, the AV co-workers are superb because I gave them this last minute request to put up the Jonah slide for us. So I'm going to read the first 15 verses. Now you can compare the account here. Jonah's experience and Jesus and his disciples in Mark chapter 4. In the book of Jonah chapter 1, he says, here he says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah and the son of Amittai, saying that, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord heard a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariner were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they heard the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it from them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us on whose account this evil had come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?' And he said to them, 'I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord of heaven, who had made the sea and dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'What is this that you have done?' For the man knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?' For the sea grew more and more tempestuous, and said to them, 'Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, that the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, 'O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from his raging. Then the man feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offer a sacrifice to the Lord and make vows." You see the similarity between these two accounts? A group of people in one boat encounter a great storm. Their lives were in danger. And then there is a character soundly asleep in the bottom of the boat. And then that character has everything to do with that storm and the situation unfolds. There's a remarkable parallel between Jonah's story and this story in Mark chapter 4. We can see that. The two group of people, the mariner and also the disciples, they begin with fear because of the storm. They end up with more fear because the person who calmed the storm, whether that is Jesus used two words or Jonah being thrown into the ocean, is remarkably parallel between these two accounts. But there's a contrast. There's a sharp contrast between the two. That significant contrast is Jonah is sacrificed into the sea, into the storm, thrown into the deep, sacrificed. But Jesus did not. So we see that there's a contrast, and there's many similarities between them. And we know that Jesus is the better Jonah here. Because you see in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, Matthew spells it out very clearly for his reader. In Matthew 12, 41, here he said, "The man of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repent at the preaching of Jonah. And behold," Matthew said, "and behold, look, something greater than Jonah is here." He's talking about Jesus. So we can very comfortably and very confidently to link Jesus and Jonah together in this account. The way that Mark described this incident, he deliberately draw his reader's attention to Jonah to see the similarities, but also have something in your mind that put a question mark on. The result seems to be a little bit different. Jonah, thrown into the ocean because of his own sin, he ran away from the presence of the Lord. The Lord called him to preach the gospel to Nineveh, one of the major cities in Assyrian Empire. Now, you have to understand the background of that, because Assyrians were brutal enemies of the Jews at that time. You're talking about terrorism. Many of these accounts in history, when they record the brutality that they did to God's people, were very similar to what we read in the news today. And you can understand that Jonah resists that calling. "No, you can call me to preach the gospel in anywhere, but not this kind of brutal enemies." So he ran away. He ran the opposite direction. Get on the boat, try to go as far as he can. Run away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah slept in the bowl because his withdrawal, because of his resistance, because of his false idea of righteousness. To a point that he didn't even care about his life. "I gave up. If you call me to do this, I'm not going to do it. You can kill me. You can destroy me." It's that kind of emotion that he fell asleep in the boat. Now that is a sharp contrast with Mark's account in chapter 4 here. Jesus fell asleep. On one hand, we see that his humanity, after a long day of work and teaching and ministry and serving other people, he's tired. It says that he is one of us. He's just like you and me. He needs rest. He's confined by his physical body as well, even though he's Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Mighty One. But he is the one who embodies God's presence in human form. He has his weakness. He has his need. But on the other hand, he sang asleep in the stern of the boat. He has that kind of peace and rest that he experienced. Now, how do I know that? If you go back to chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 in the Gospel of Mark, you will see Jesus is driving a ministry that making it clearer and clearer. Because in chapter 1, you see that through John the Baptist's testimony, Jesus' baptism, we see who he is. And he went through the temptation that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness in order to establish what humanity is supposed to be like by God's grace and by God's power, that he can overcome the temptation coming from the devil, the true human that God intended. And then he brought God's kingdom on earth. He called his first disciples. He healed a man with an unclean spirit. He healed many of them afterward. He cleansed a leper with the power and with compassion. And in chapter 2, we see that Jesus healed a paralytic by forgiving his sin. By declaring forgiveness, he upset the religious authority. He called Levi the sinner, another unclean person. He announced that he is the bridegroom, that the Lord of Sabbath, that we were, when we are with him, we have no need to fast. It's time for celebration. And he continued to do God's will on Sabbath day because he's the Lord of Sabbath. He's the one who truly brings in the rest of God to his people. And in chapter 3, you see that he healed a man with a withered hand on Sabbath. Further proof that he's the Lord of Sabbath. And also challenge the distorted notion about Sabbath of the Pharisees and the scribes. And he called 12 disciples with great symbolic significance. 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel. God's kingdom is near. God's kingdom has dawned. And he rebuked the religious authority because they hardened their heart. Blasphemy without forgiveness. And he redefined his family ties. These three chapters are telling us who Jesus is and what is his ministry about. And from that, we can see that he rests himself in the Father's hand. He knows who he is, and he knows what he is doing. And he knows he is doing and carrying out the Father's will. And that is why he can sound asleep at the stern of the boat. The subcontract between Jesus and Jonah is in their sleep. Jonah's sleep is a disordered sleep. Related to his own sinfulness. His own rebellion. But there's another kind of sleep that Jesus is picturing here. Jesus come up with two words, calm the wind and the ocean. The wind and the ocean are a place of great trouble and evil in the Hebrew mind. And throughout the ages, especially in the book of Psalms, you see that the author of Psalms, they keep again and again affirming the reader that our Lord the Almighty will calm the sea. Let me read you a couple of verses coming from Psalm. Psalm 65, 7 and 8. Who still the roaring of the sea, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the people, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. 89, verse 9. You rule the raging of the sea when it waves, when its waves arise, you still them. In 107, 23 to 30, some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous work in the deep. For he commanded and raised the storm wind, which lift up the wave of the sea. They come up to heaven. They went down to the depth. Their courage melt away in their evil plan. They reel and stagger like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to the desired heaven. You see that the Lord can calm the sea. We go back to Genesis chapter 1 when God created heaven and earth. God's Spirit hover over the primal water and bring forth order and creation. In Exodus, he separated the wet Red Sea so that his people can be delivered and walk through that in safety and in security. And in Psalm, we see all these. Jonah tried to run away from the presence of God, being thrown into the sea and calmed that. To Jonah, that moment he'd been thrown back in seems to be his judgment. But God used a big fish to swallow him. 3 days, repentance, and spit him out again. And Jesus used that to allude to his resurrection. So we know that one day, Jesus will be thrown into the depth of judgment for you and for me. That is how he calmed the storm, the wave of the wrath of God upon sinners. That is how you and I can witness that the sea and the wave and the wind being calm. That Jesus is the ultimate Jonah being thrown into the ultimate depth of judgment so that we can experience the peace and rest which Jesus demonstrated in the middle of the storm. There was a story about a certain person who traveled through the deep south in a hot summer day, exhausted and thirsty. He walked by, there was a store selling watermelon. And walk in there and look at watermelon being sliced up. And he asked the store owner, how much is a piece of that? Then the store owner said, $1.10. So he put his hand in the pocket and pulled out. He only had $1. He showed it to the store owner, I only have $1. I don't have $1.10. Maybe later I come back with the 10 cents for you. The store owner said, no problem, I trust you. So this gentleman put the dollar back to his pocket, grabbed that slice of watermelon and walked out. And the store owner chased out and said, wait a minute, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to go out and enjoy my watermelon. He said, yeah, but what about the dollar? He said, you trust me with $1.10. You trust me to come back with that. He said, no. Give me the dollar. So I know that you're going to bring the 10 cents back. So this gentleman turned around and saying, ah, now I understand. You are not trusting me with $1.10. You're just backing on my integrity for 10 cents. You still want that dollar. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not trust. That is a gambling on someone's integrity. Are we gambling on God's integrity by demanding that $1 and then you can walk away with that 10 cents? Isn't that the source of our unrest? That we could not totally trust God in the most desperate hour in our life. I'm not saying that by trusting that everything will be okay. But just like the song said that we just sung, and then the worship leader speak to us this morning. We might encounter a lot of challenges and difficulties in our lives. But the question to us ultimately is there $1.10 trust or a 10 cents gambling on someone's integrity? Jesus gave us everything to prove that. He's the one who ultimately been thrown into the depth of eternal justice to satisfy the wrath of a holy God. He himself did not have prosperity or wealth. But he trusts the Father to the end. There's another disorder, slipping disorder, later on in the book of Mark. Let me read that to you. This is another deeper slipping disorder that you and I may be still in there. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he asked to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, "If it were possible, the hour might pass from him." And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." There's another deeper sleeping disorder than in chapter 4 that Mark is alluding to in chapter 14. It is our own sinfulness. That is the precise reason why Christ is here. That is why he is the ultimate Jonah being thrown into the depth of eternal justice, so that we may sound asleep. We may walk away from sleeping disorder, so that we can have the rest that surpasses all the rest. That we may experience that who is the Lord of Sabbath and what is the true meaning of Sabbath. And then we can see the goodness of the kingdom of God, even in the middle of the storm. Some of us, you are deep in the storm. You may be in the eye of a hurricane. I cannot deliver you. No one can deliver you. But Christ can. He'd been there. He went through it. Even to the depth that you and I cannot even be imagined. But the Father rose him from the dead on the third day to vindicate. And his promise is one day you and I will rise with him again. Trust in him. Because of who he is. Faith and trust is not something that we sum up with all our might and our willpower. That is not the biblical notion about faith and trust. The biblical notion about faith and trust has everything to do with the person that we invest our faith and trust in. Commit your life to this better Jonah. That who went into the depth for your sake. And one day, you know, you will rise with him again. Let's bow and pray. Father, we might have a lot of sleepless night. A lot of worry. A lot of anxiety. A lot of unknown, profound sense of helplessness, powerless, and even crushed by our own sin, repeated again and again. But Lord Jesus, thank you. You've thrown into the depth of eternal justice. So that we can be free. Help us to trust you because of who you are. Help us to trust you because of what you have done for us. Help us to trust you even at this moment. Things doesn't seem to have any solution. But you are my anchor. We praise you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.